Okay, Sunday night. Shaar Bitochen, Perek Shlishi, and the Sefer that we use, we're starting from page Kuf Lamed Vov. L'Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Rav Nosson, the father of our gracious hostess. And she asked that we also have in mind the four Shlema for Basya Bazelda. And B'sarach Shehar Kol Chayla Yisrael. Amen. Okay, so what the we're starting from the paragraph, starting with the words V'hatam. And the Chavis HaBobis has said already that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made a very complicated world full of cause and effect. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will that's empowering everything, but he created a system of cause and effect. And if you don't do the cause and effect, it ain't going to work. As surely as you have to chew, and you have to pick up the food to bring it to your mouth, right? And you have to go to the kitchen to bring it to the table to put in your mouth, and you have to go to the store to bring it to the kitchen to put on the table, and then it just is more links in the chain. Having to work to earn money to be able to go to the store and get the bread, bring it to the kitchen, and put it on the table and bring it to your mouth, and then chew and then swallow. So it's all hishtadlus. It's all hishtadlus. We'll use the word hishtadlus. And it's mukhrach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that in his bria. He set up the world that a person has to instigate, has to go through the motions of cause and effect. But it's not just motions. It is cause and effect. It's empowered by the Ribbono Shel Olam's will. Now, why? V'hatam shemachmoso chiyev Hashem es ha'odom l'sasek b'sibus ha'parnoso v'yeser tzrochav. Now, chiyev, that's a very heavy word. Chiyev. The Chavis HaBavis later on will say, unlike other Rishonim, we're used to thinking of the need to labor in parnoso as the klal of Adam HaRishon. The Chavis HaLvavos is clearly saying not like that. He will explain why in the very fabric of the Bria, originally it was necessary, why Hashem created a Bria where a person has to be misasek besibos. He talks about Parnassa because people are obsessed with Parnassa, and that takes up most of their... the average person's mind and life is in Gashmius is taken up with, you'll say, with health. But if everything's, if all things being normal, then the person's life is taken up with his pursuit of Parnassa. So Chavis HaLvavos holds that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria, when he either later on in Shaar HaBitachon, or maybe it's in Shaar Avodas Elokim, I don't recall now offhand, he brings on a different pasuk. The pasuk that expresses the HaKadosh Baruch Hu system that a person work and earn money and do, is not b'zeh sapecha toch alechem, which is post klala, but it's vayani chehu began eden la'ovda u'lishamra. That's what he brings down. And Adam HaRishon was told to do something, to tend kan eden. So putting aside all the holy things that went on there, but he learned it b'pashtus. He worked. So, and that's obviously pre-klala. So that's his pasuk for working. And here he's going to say why it's part of the fabric of the Bria. And he uses the word chiev. Kodesh Baruch Hu demanded that a person be busy creating or working with or on creating these links that will be the cause and effect. He could never forget the avoda. In this case, we'll say the avoda of bitachon is to recognize who the engine is, and that's going to transform your whole life, right? Because when you realize that it's all just playing out Hashem's gezeirah, so then you just treat it differently. You treat your work differently. You treat your attitude towards work differently. You treat the nisyonos of Hasogas Gvul, taking away customers from others, priorities in life. You just treat it differently when you realize it's all just the way through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is functioning. But that brings us back to Bitachon. Now he's in the world of cause and effect, and he wants to explain why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created such a system. So you could really say that that's just... And he will sort of answer that, but not directly. I'm a little surprised. I mean, he could easily answer that that's the Nisayon of life, is to recognize, to see through this mirage, and to recognize that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's providing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said a person's going to have so much money, he's going to have so much money no matter what time he opens the store. But he has a chiyuv to act the way an industrious person would act. And he sort of says that, but not exactly. We'll see. Let's learn a few more lines. He says... Yeah.
You just hinted at this point that you don't have to worry about competition in business.
You shouldn't worry. Worry is a good word.
If you could just spell it out, having bitachon prevents you from worrying that someone else is going to put
when you
out of business.
Because when you realize that you're opening the store and you're advertising, you're just fulfilling Hashem's demand that you are mesasek besibos. To use the Chavis Halvavis' words, we call it hishtadlus. You have to create or be involved in the links in the chain. Hashem doesn't come down a chimney with bread. You have to be involved in that link. But it's all ways of carrying out Hashem's decree of how much money you're going to earn. And so that's not going to change. Rabos machshavos belevish v'atzas Hashem hisakum. So if Hashem decreed that you should have parnasa through this method, it really doesn't. The other person's not going to touch your parnasa.
Well, to what extent do you need to compete? You know, there's a certain competition that is expected in businesses that you're expected to keep up with, make sure you...
I can't answer. It's a case-by-case basis. You have to do the norm. To what degree... You don't have to respond to competition. If a person... Here's a very good example. A person will always take out a half a page ad in the Medavarama, whatever it's called, yeah. He'll take out a half a page ad. And now a competing store opened up. He says, uh-oh, I better take out a full page ad. That's wrong. I mean, I can't say wrong, because in these inyanim, you're not talking about things that are osur. But that's a very specific, clear lack of bitachon. He's not focused properly.
If the store was always closed from 2 to 4, and now another store opened up, so now they're going to think, well, now we have to be open from 2 to 4, because there's another store that opened up.
I would say also that. Now, if he hires someone who sees that people really like to shop between 2 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Except till now, they had nowhere else to go.
Right.
So they were stuck. Mm-hmm. And now that there's another store, so then I would say, it's not a chisaron b'tachon, because really people are shopping between 2 and 4. And you should really be open between 2 and 4, except you think that you have the upper hand over them, and you can afford to close between 2 and 4, because they have no choice, and now they have another choice. So you see, that's a different dynamic. That's a different thing. But if it's only, I better be open more hours, because now this competition, straight, it's very hard. This is all why we have to work on bitachon. We have to really believe that that's not going to make a difference. The question then becomes, and I get this every day, at what point, why do I take the other person to a din Torah? If it's a question of hasogas gavul, and I say that the town can't support two, whatever it is, two, yeah, two pizza shops. Pizza shops, you can support as many pizza shops as there are. You can't support two dry cleaners. I think when Ramat Beit Shemesh was first being mitzapeach a few years ago, the dry cleaners, there was like a... Now,
competition is good.
No, but there is a halacha of asogas kavul, which is not... The Torah basically is... The Torah and Chazal are basically very capitalistic. Capitalistic, even very capitalistic. But within guidelines, we all know there's an iser ona'ah, which it's not so clear how to apply it, but we know there's certain controls over prices beyond a certain point, and that's called ono'a. There is an inyan of hasagas gavul, which is that if the town can't support, I'm talking very superficially, there is a general halacha that if the town can't, if the area can't support two stores, then you're not allowed to open the second store. Now, there's a lot of loopholes. You want to open another pizza store, and so you sell ice cream also, right? So, or you sell olives on your pizza, and the other guy doesn't make olives. If you serve the consumer in a way that the previous store is not serving the consumer, you usually can get away with it.
You have a customer service counter.
Yeah, takeout. I had a din Torah once in, anybody here from Tiyanek? I hope not. So there was a Chinese food store in Tiyanek, and then another Chinese food store opened. But they had takeout also. The other store was just a sit-down restaurant. And so sometimes the Beis Din will make a compromise that you should only sell ice cream or something like that. They'll try to work something out. But Kitsa, there's a lot of blue ball. But let's talk the concept. The concept. That's difficult. On the other hand, you know, let's say someone steals from me. So can I take him to a din Torah to get my money back? That's also in the Torah. That's also in Chayshim Mishpat. So apparently, if someone steals from me, I could also take the attitude, well, this was supposed to happen to me, and Hashem willed it, and it's just a hezek that occurred to me, and I have to accept it because I have bitachon. I know that Hashem is behind this. And
people might think you're a wimp.
No, that's not the point. The point is if the Torah provided the way to get it back, then, I mean, no one would think of saying that if I dropped a 50 shekel bill, I was going to say $10 bill, you know. If you dropped a 50 shekel bill, then no one's going to say, well, don't bend down to pick it up because Hashem wanted you to lose it. You'll say, well, that's absurd. It's sitting right there. Hashem obviously didn't want me to lose it, or the wind would have come and blown it away. And it's sitting right here. Obviously, I'm going to bend. Maybe Hashem just wants me to bend down. So it's the same thing. If the Choshen Mishpat and the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch provides for relief, if someone steals from me, then certainly I should take advantage. Then taking advantage, then using the Torah guidelines to get my money back is no more a lack of bitachon than bending down to pick up the 50 shekel piece. And it's the same with Hasagas Gvul. Although with Hasagas Gvul, it seems like you're pushing the envelope because, like, I'm scared of competition. But in certain situations, the Shulchan Aruch does say that it's like the other fellow stealing from me. He's stealing my customers away. You're not allowed to steal customers away from someone. So the point is that if the town can only support, let's say, one dry cleaners, then a second dry cleaner that opens is automatically stealing away customers from the first dry cleaners.
Is that part of your mazel that, like, your store used to be full and bustling, and then someone else opened, and slowly, your store just has people who never...
A Beis Din will have to make a determination about the customer base. About the customer base. I was sat on it in Torah Muncie. What I have to go to Tiyanek for? When the second Chinese food store opened up in Muncie, I learned a lot about Chinese food. Because Jews like Chinese food. It's just something, it's really funny.
It's like a war of chapsticks.
A 59.
Right.
Yeah, but it was pretty close to each other. That you know what I'm talking about here. I was at the Din Torah. It was worse because they say they stole away that chief chef, the chief guy.
Oh, that's
Chief Juan. Chief Juan.
Yeah.
But they really are separate communities. They really, really are. Like, one is 5 minutes from my house, the other one's 15 minutes from
my house. No, I don't think you know which two I'm talking about.
One
See, okay, most growing community, Ramat Beit Shemesh. At this point already, Baruch Hashem, you know, you would say, it's ridiculous. You know, it's ridiculous that the town could support it.
So
you know, there's so many people, and people want choices, and this one gives
so
deliveries.
Ohio,
but it's always when a town opens up and it's starting, you always have these Dinei Torah the first few years.
Right.
But again, we're getting away from the point. When it applies, so I guess it's like someone stole from you, and you know who the Ganav is, you're allowed to take him to Beis Din. When the Torah provides relief, then taking steps to protect yourself is just like bending down to pick up money that dropped. It's not a chisaron bitachon. Your attitude is, though, if you lose the case, or if you think you should have won the case, but you can't prove it, you didn't bring enough statistics, you didn't bring the data to the Beis Din that would have shown your case, that would have won you the case. So you get aggravated and you get upset and you get angry and you start talking Lashon Hara. This is where the lack of Bitachon kicks in, where you talk Lashon Hara on the Beis Din that paskened against you, or you talk against your competitor. I have to say, let me think for a second for Lashon Hara. Right now there's something going on in Ramat Beit Shemesh and they're both talking Lashon Hara on each other. They're both talking, oh, they really don't have a heksha. But please, nobody say anything, even if you know what I'm talking about. Because I get that, you know, that's where you see the lack of bitachon, when you talk against the competitor. So let's not worry so much about taking someone to a Din Torah, which is in the Shulchan Aruch, and a Torah-sanctioned relief. Let's worry, what the people should worry about, you know, is the attitude. And how they react to losing, and how they react to the whole situation, you know, until the Beis Din meets, do they eat themselves up with anxiety and worry? So that's where you'll see where the bitachon kicks in. But let's go back to the Chayav Halavos. We're moving away from his point. His point is he wants to know why Hashem created such a world. So he says Nechlak Lishnayim. There are two reasons. There are two reasons why Hashem made the world of Ishtadlus and demanded that you immerse yourself in it, that you be industrious. The Torah doesn't want you to be lazy. The Torah wants you to be good at what you do and to work hard. Not overly hard. Overly hard would be, everybody wants the magic formula. Let me tell you, Rabosai. If you learn Shaar HaBitachon and you think about the things we learn and you develop Bitachon, everybody will find their natural place in the flow of Hishtadlus and Bitachon. I don't mean to give Musar, Chas V'Shalom, whoever comes to the Shiur is a fantastic person. But if it's when you don't have Bitachon, people who don't have Bitachon, so if you know what it's like, okay, tell me when I'm not allowed to do Shabbos and when I'm allowed to do. You know, just tell me. So that's, in Shabbos, it doesn't matter. Even if you love Shabbos and you're emotionally involved with Shabbos and your heart overflows with the understanding that Hashem made the world and that Hashem made the universe and He's the creator of the world, you still have to know Hilchos Shabbos. I mean, but Bitachon, people have a tendency. Instead of working on Bitachon, they come to the rabbi and they say, tell me, what page yet should I take out? Is it okay? And Chovos Halvavos does not have answers. Chovos Halvavos, that's why he wrote the Sefer, he writes. And life is Chovos Halvavos, he writes in his Hagdama. And all of the mitzvahs, he makes a very radical statement throughout the Sefer, the Chovos Halvavos. All the mitzvahs are just tricks for you to develop your lave. He says it time and time again. You don't have to be ashamed of saying it. He says it clearly and openly and unapologetically. The mitzvos, ma'asios, are just ways of developing your lave, of bonding with Hashem. of understanding Hashem, of loving Hashem, of appreciating Hashem, of feeling as an Eved Hashem, of wanting to do Hashem's will, of loving Hashem, being appreciating Him, that your heart goes out. You know, what does David HaMelech say? Right, you say you did nefesh, and you did nefesh. Your heart expresses a longing to just be with Hashem, to be involved with Him. So that's what you have to, and fear of Hashem also. You have to be in awe of Hashem's greatness, and so this is what Chavis Halavos is. So you have to work on bitachon, and you know, it's like wherever your heart comes to rest. And that will depend on how much you want. So you come to the rabbi and you say, "How much? What page yet should I take out?" I give an answer. The person wants an answer, so I say, you know, if you would have bitachon, you would go talk to advertising gurus. I'm sure there is such a thing, and ask them what would be the norm. And if they say the norm would be a half a page, but you want to really catch someone's eye, take a full page. So take half a page. But the point is, you have to develop bitachon, and then you'll understand yourself what to do. That's the beauty of Chovos Halavos, is that you don't need a rabbi. that's the beauty of Chovos Halavos. In general, everything. Yiras Hashem, Avos Hashem. You don't. There's no shilas to ask. You are what you are. So. I don't mean to minimize. Well, the mitzvahs ma'asios as they are, they are. That's the Chovos Halavos is the first. He's a rishon. He's the first to hasten to say, don't think that if you are bonding with Hashem, so you could cheat on if something's kosher, or you could cheat making a bracha. Or cheat on davening. There's certain things you have to do, because in Shar Avodas Elokim he spends time explaining the system, why Hashem made what maybe some people would call a robotic system, where you have to do this and you're not allowed to do this and everybody has to follow the same rules, and why Hashem made a robotic system, if that's not really the point. The point is your lave, and every person's lave is different. So in Shar Avodas Elokim, he really gets into that and develops that question. But in general, the Sefer Chovos Halavos was written as a Shulchan Aruch for Chovos Halavos. So everybody's their own Rav. As developed as they are, they will... But my job, if anything, is to create awareness. At least be aware that your anxiety and your worry is a chisaron, is a midah ra'a. It's not the way it's supposed to be. You're exhibiting a lack of bitachon. You're not facing the reality of the way Hashem functions. So that's what the Chovos Halavos wants to know. Why did Hashem do this to us? Why did He demand that we live in this crazy world where we have to do this, we have to work, we have to go through the motions, but then we have to, if He's the prime cause, so why can't we sit back and say, if Hashem wants me to earn kach for kach money a year, I'll earn it. So why? He said it must be that way, because at the point where the bread's on the table, everybody's going to break down and stretch out their hand to take it. No one's going to say, if Hashem wants me to eat, he's going to bring my spouse into the room and my spouse is going to feed me. Right, no one says that.
It's a philosophical question, but is it a perfect world or is it an imperfect world?
So he's going to answer, it seems imperfect, and he's going to answer why Hashem did it. And after we read his answer, we'll realize that that's the perfect way. Hashem had a reason for doing it.
Perfectly imperfect.
Hashem had a reason. Why did Hashem create people not like Malachim? It's also perfectly imperfect. But the perfection is that He wants us to earn Olam Haba. When we earn Olam Haba, we'll be greater than Malachim, because we had to work through it and have Nisyonos, and Malachim don't have this. So we're imperfect because we have the Yetzirah, but it's an opportunity to become more perfect than the perfect Malachim. And that's what He's going to answer here also. His answer is, really, it's all of the things we just talked about. His answer is that, and this is really such a fundamental answer. He says, open up the Torah. What is life? Life is nisyonos. Life is the Torah. You're not allowed to steal. You're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara. You have to keep Shabbos. You have to eat kosher. He says, if it wouldn't be for, if we would just sit, that's the world where we earn our Olam Haba. But that's the world of cause and effect. If Hashem wouldn't have created the whole cause and effect thing, that's the playing field. In other words, I have to work to earn money. Oh, but I'm not allowed to work on Shabbos. And I have to be koveya itim l'Torah. I have to make sure I learn Torah every day, a set time. And I'm not allowed to break that time, even if someone offers me a huge profit. And I'm not allowed to cheat my customers. Right? The whole Chosh Mishpat, the whole Lamed Tes Melachos. What's Shabbos? Lamed Tes Melachos. What do you think Lamed Tes Melachos is? So there's Afiyas Hapas. Right? Lamed Tes Melachos is people taking care of their needs. Baking, right? The first, the 13, whatever, baking bread. Then there's Beged Lilbosh. And then there's building a house, right? The whole Lamed Tes Melachos is based on Tzarchei Adam. A person has needs and they have to... And so that's the world. So that's what Chazal Rabbah says. Because Hashem wanted a world where a person would be tested. Would be tested. Is he an Oven Hashem or not? Will he keep Shabbos or not? Will he be honest or not? Will he cheat his employer? Will he cheat his employee? Will he be honest with his customers? Right? So this is all... This is the world that we live in. So that's what he says. So the reason, Mekitzah, the reason Hashem created a world of Hishtadlus, because it's in the acts of Hishtadlus where we are tested to see if we're faithful to Hashem. Because that's where the mitzvahs are. That's where the nisyonos are. That's where life is. That's where life is. We know that. Will I get angry? The truth is, he doesn't mention the biggest nisayon of all, and that is to have bitachon. He doesn't mention that. He's talking about, will I keep Shabbos, be honest in business, talk Lashon Hara on my competitor. That's what he's talking about. So this is where, but this is perfection. This is the tachlis of the world, he's saying. This is the playing field on which we live life, and have our nisyonos, and develop our character, and decide who we are, decide what we are. Right? An animal, right, doesn't have to worry about where to live. An animal doesn't have to read the paper to see what apartments are for rent. The animal doesn't have to worry about employment. Right? A person has to worry about getting a job. We're tested in chesed, if we'll help someone else. That's what he says. Kivan shechiva hachochma, because he goes into the fundamental reason for the creation of a person. Since hachochma, that's Hashem, demanded that we test a person, that a person come down to this world and have bechira and choose to do Hashem's will or not, so you're tested b'meshi yigale azeh. You're tested in the way that will reveal if you're indeed an Eved Hashem or not, if you're doing His will. So where is that? It's in all these things. V'hu hatzorech, in all these things that you need. Ochel, mashke, malbush, modur, place to live, having a spouse. This you're allowed to do, this you're not allowed to do. So this is all... The playing field of life. Lefikach tziva aleha. So Hashem told the person lehisasek begormim, to be misasek and to work on the sibos, in order that you do it the way Hashem wants it, in order that you do it l'shem shemayim, in order that you do it with the right kavanos, and you don't do it you do it because Hashem wants. The ultimate is to do everything l'shem Hashem. The ultimate, right? A person can. So easy. We talked about this. It's so easy to be an Eved Hashem. It's easy and it's hard to be an Eved Hashem 24 hours a day. You just, everything you do, you quietly say to yourself, I'm doing this because it's Hashem's will that I do it. That's all. And if you can honestly look in a mirror and say that without blushing, without, what I mean is you sincerely believe that. So that's it, you're being an Eved Hashem. This is what Hashem wants me to do at this point in time. Umasha Gozar Hashem. So what Hashem, so he says, that's why we live in a world of Ishtadlis. So what Hashem wants a person to have, when he was Gozer, he should have this much money. Yusag, he'll get it. The Yiskayim Bekiyim Hasibus, he'll get it, and it'll come through these links in the chain of Ishtadlis, cause and effect. Umasha Lo Gozer Lo Hashem, what Hashem doesn't want him to have, so the Sibos won't work out. Right, he'll open the store and no one will come. That's going to happen anyway. And Hashem will make sure that the sibos don't work. Hashem is in v'lo niskanu alilos. He said Hashem is always empowering. If he withdraws the energy from the hishtadlus is not going to work. But your job, I was talking to someone in the shul today. I started. You should get your husband. If anybody hears from whoever hears from the shul, I started meeting with everybody in the shul. I started butting my nose into everybody's business. So I sit with everyone and I go through their day. So whoever wants to, I don't impose it on anyone. So I was sitting with someone today who Taka has a very rough time, very rough. He thought I would yell at him. I didn't yell at him. My heart went out to him. He works like to make ends meet. He has to work 12, 13 hours a day. He has it rough. I'm not going to say more. He has it rough. So what can I say to the guy? The guy has to work. That's. Ironically, I spoke in shul a few weeks ago about sometimes, I spoke about it here also, that sometimes that's the way Hashem wants your life to be. And you can't break through a certain point, so he says he got chizuk from that. So that's what his life is. But I said it, he has to be honest. He could cheat his employer. There's things he can do that he could be, we say the word cheat. But if he gets paid by the hour, he has to put in a full hour. So he could cut corners, he could do things, and he's not doing it. He has to withstand that nisayon, and he's an Eved Hashem. He's utilizing his time to be an Eved Hashem. He's no less an Eved Hashem than someone that's doing something, no less of an Eved, no less of an Eved Hashem than someone that's, let's say, teaching Torah or learning a whole day, no less, and he has a very big nisayon because it's tight, his life is tough, so he has to have bitachon. So I told him to say Pashas Hamon. That's my big etzah to everyone, to say everybody here know that you have to say Pashas Hamon every day, but you shouldn't just say the words like Ashrei, which I always laugh when I say that, because you shouldn't say Ashrei like Ashrei either. Stop with the word segula. We hate the word segula. It's not segula. You say it because you're going to think what it means. You're going to think what the words mean, and you're going to develop bitachon. That parnassah is from Hashem, and he gives on Friday twice, and Shabbos you take a break because the parnassah is coming from him every way, and he'll give you lechem mishnah and hamadif. Right, and might lo hechsir, v'madif lo marbe. You're not going to help. Everybody's going to get the portion he gets. And lechem comes min hashemayim. There's so many lessons in the parasha of the month. Why do you think Hashem did that? Hashem did that because, when you learn Chavos HaLevavos, it's not nice to say it this way, the man is obsessed with parnasa. And the reason is because he knows people are obsessed with parnasa. That is uppermost in people's mind. How am I going to make it through the month?
That's the whole ownership of the Marisha. That's the whole thing.
Well, according to the Chavis Halval,
women are obsessed the whole day about their kids.
And part of us, and now we took on both of them.
Yeah, well, we started with that.
Who told you to take it on? Take out your ksuba and read it. It says your husband has to support you. If you want to help him, because it's very hard. I am old enough to remember. Let's not talk about Kollel now. Let's just talk about normal life. I remember when society shifted over to two incomes. I remember the shift. When I grew up in the 50s and 60s, the mother didn't work. The husband went to work. People needed more. People wanted more. And they didn't want to have so many kids, so they were freer. I'm talking about the Goyim now. I'm talking about society. It's a whole Western society. I'm not talking about Israel. I'm not talking about Jews. I'm not talking about from people. They freed themselves of the burden of children the way they saw it. They wanted careers. So Hashem said, as he does, as we learned from the beginning of Shaar Bitachon, okay, have it your way. And all of a sudden, everybody found themselves not being able to manage with one income. And all of a sudden, they needed two incomes. Right? And then all of a sudden, it's normal for the wife to work. And then, okay, that's a whole parsha in itself. But
there's so many people out there that are managing on one income.
Yeah.
There's a lot of help from family abroad.
No, it's because
there are many digits.
It's because there are women who really feel that they want to focus on.
This is a whole nother. Wait. A whole nother discussion. It's a whole nother discussion. Certainly, everybody agrees that the woman's first priority is the home and the children. Everybody sitting here agrees. They better agree. That's her first priority. If she wants to have a career as the president of a company, that's nowadays we say that's fine, that's great, we applaud her. As long as it's her second priority. That's all. Simple. The first priority is the home. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's how we'll say it.
And not normal life of Kollel?
What?
I mean, the trend is the Kollel society, for the most part.
No one... You want to talk about that?
We don't.
But Derech Klal, no one's the women were given that chinuch in the Beis Yaakovs, so they willingly accepted upon themselves the burden of parnasa and raising the children so that the husbands can sit and learn. No one holds a gun to a woman's head and says you have to. The Gedolim instituted it. Whether consciously or subconsciously, or Baron Kotler really was the main force behind it in America and the Chazon Ish in Eretz Yisrael. After the Holocaust, it was felt that it was very necessary. The Torah world was depleted. We believe that the life force of Klal Yisrael is the Talmid HaChachamim, is the knowledge of Torah. It was totally depleted. It was a churban in Ruchnius, not just in Gashmius. There was a churban Europe. There was nothing left of all the yeshivas, of everything. A few remnants were left. And if you read the Chafetz Chaim's letters, even in his days, after World War I, there was a tremendous churban people in the learning world. It's a nes min hashamayim that within the space of one or two generations, we went from being in Kollel as the anomaly and... the guy couldn't find the shidduch because who's going to want to marry some batlim who's learning and doesn't have a job. In the space of one or two generations, we went mamish to the opposite extreme, where a guy that's not learning has trouble finding a shidduch because he's automatically a bum. So I'm exaggerating, but only slightly. And it's a nice. So at some point, you know, it's happening now. We're in the generation where there's a little backlash and the shift is moving back, the pendulum is swinging in the other direction, and there's a subconscious feeling that Genukshain, we've rebuilt the Torah centers, we've rebuilt the infrastructure of Torah, and now we can go back to normal life. So, you know, Hashem is running it, and you know, no one's consciously manipulating society. It's happening. Hashem makes sure the right, you know, this is like a whole discussion itself. The truth is, if you know American history, if you know America, take Rav Aaron was the only Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Moshe Feinstein was in a yeshiva where everybody went to college. Rav Huttner was in a yeshiva where everybody went to college, right? Torah V'Das was a yeshiva where everybody went to college. It was only Rav Aaron. It was Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron single-handedly, like, banged on the table and said no, and he made a Lakewood. So look what Hashem did. He made a Lakewood with 11 Bachrim, and, you know, in 50 years, look what it became. And the trend is, right, if you're not learning now, you can't get a shidduch. And a girl that wants a boy that's not learning, it's Rachmanu somehow. She has to, like, you know. So we need shadchanim that are going to find the great guy that's working and the great girl that wants a boy that works. You have to make a shidduch. I have a son that's working. Anybody know a shidduch for him? So I do, by the way. He's in America, though. He's in America. Why, you want to know a story? So shadchanim call up, and they have lists of girls who don't want a boy that's learning, and they're suspicious. What boy is not learning? Is he a bum? Does he put on tefillin? Does he daven? Would he eat in a restaurant without a heksha? These are the questions. Because they're nervous. Because what kind of a boy is not learning a whole day? And we're nervous, my wife and I. And we say, what kind of a girl is she, and how does she daven, and how does she dress? And why does she want a boy that's not learning? You know, everybody's very, very suspicious. And, so Mitzvashem, you know, it'll... Mitzvashem, you know, Tochen and Mitzvashem will find that they'll come together. You know, but everybody's very suspicious. But my point is, it's like a nace, if you think... It happened in the blink of an eye. And it happened because Hashem wanted it to happen, because we had to rebuild it. Pashtus. I mean, I'm not a Navi, what do I know? But, you know, it's to rebuild the infrastructure of Torah. Because without Torah, Klal Yisrael was nothing. And Churban Europe decimated. It decimated all the yeshivas. It decimated we don't even realize the Gedolim that were killed. So like the Sherus HaPleita here and there, and from that, look what sprang up. It's a miracle. As much as the state of Israel is a miracle, that it was populated by a few, you know, the first Aliyah in the 1800s, the second Aliyah, and then after the war, a bunch of, you know, remnants, Sherus HaPleita came and they fought a war in 1948. It's like a mess, you know. And now we have all the cell phones. Everybody has two cell phones. It's a nace, but the Torah world's also a nace. But the nace happened because two generations lived in not normal lives. So, you know, you ask me, I think it's l'chayre the pendulum swinging back slowly, 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 slowly. You know, everybody's very nervous if it swings back too quickly. But it is, you know, you have Haredi colleges already, and you have Haredi this and that. There's just too many people. There's not enough yeshivas. Okay, we're getting off the subject. But the women could pull out their ksuba and demand their husbands go to work. They could. No one's forcing them. Any wife. You have to realize the koilel revolution couldn't have happened without the Beis Yaakov system. Now, you want to say they brainwashed the girls, maybe they did, but the girls had to be maskim. The girls had to say, I am going to go to work and still run my household and support a husband learning. It was the women that did it, not the men. The men couldn't have done it.
But they don't have
they needed the women. So it was the Beis Yaakovs. The Beis Yaakovs.
They don't have a choice. They don't have a choice.
You're talking now, but when it was mitpateach, it was their choice. They very much had a choice, right? If Chafetz Chaim writes letters that a yeshiva guy can't find a shidduch, no one wants to marry a batlan. No one wants to marry a guy that's not going to have a parnasa. So that was in the 1920s. And then there was the 1930s and 40s, right? And then and then World War II. And then, so it's like magic. It's like, really, it's like a nace. If you look back, say, whoa, when did that happen, that a girl better want to marry a koyel guy? Okay? Remember, in the 40s and early 50s, they didn't want to. And the Kohel guy couldn't find the Shidduch. And so Davishter, Reb Aaron worked his magic, and Reb Davishter worked his magic through Reb Aaron. And in the space of one, and this is my lifetime we're talking about. I was born in 1952. So in the space of one lifetime, we went from can't find the Shidduch if you're learning to can't find the Shidduch barely if you're not learning. It's amazing. It's like sociologically speaking, I could write a sociology book, it's like a mace. Like a mace to track how that happened, how society shifted. And it was Reb Kotler. It wasn't even all the Rosh Hashivas. I'm telling you, Rav Huttner had Chaim Berlin, Rav Moshe had MTJ, Torah Vadas. These were not Kolel Yeshivas. They were producing working people. It's really mind-boggling when you see what happened. Okay, but the Eibishter knew it was. I mean, that's what the way I understand it. And again, no one held a gun. It was the women that did it. You should be proud. The women did it because the Beis Yaakovs had to get the women to be maskim. You have to realize, right? The women had to agree to do this. No one forces them. They had to agree. Okay, so they did it, and then in the space of one generation, it's like, whoa, it's amazing. Okay. We better get back to those alums.